We have hit the record button, so we are ready to go.
Gangsta.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens podcast sponsored by Melted Pins. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, each and every week, every single one, sometimes three times in one week, it is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I think we fucked ourselves with this whole backlog challenge because every time I want to sit down to actually play a game, we're recording content, which I love.
Welcome to my life.
It just feels like we just made ourselves give $20 in a pot every single month for the year. That's what's happened.
Patrick, let me introduce him first. And with us as our guest this week is Patrick Hickey Jr., author of The Minds Behind the Games and The Minds Behind the Adventure Games, which is out right now. Both are out right now. Patrick, welcome to the show.
What's up, guys? How you doing? A pleasure, as always.
I should say welcome back to the show.
Yeah, you should have.
He's over here. He's writing as we speak, ladies and gentlemen. That's what you need to know.
No, I'm not.
He's doing the minds behind the best podcasts, and he's putting our section in.
I'm saying on Facebook on the dual screens podcast right now.
Yeah, baby. Always got to always be promoting, right?
Always. Constantly.
ABP. Always be promoting.
That's a real thing, is it?
So, Patrick, what we've done on our Patreon post show for the Gamescast, we are now turning that into its own tiny little like 10 to 15 minute mini show, and it's called the Backlog Accountability Club.
Oh my god.
So we each pick a AAA game and an indie game, and we take the month, so we have until the end of January to beat both of those games. If we do not beat those games, we have to put $20 into a kitty.
Oh shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, it'd be $20 per game.
Yes, but we only no. I guess it would be like $10 per game, kind of.
Okay, all right.
But it's $20 total. But we picked our own game that we're gonna go for.
Okay,
I'm gonna finish Jedi Fallen Order, and I'm gonna finish Moonlighter. Andy, you're gonna finish. I think it was
Neo, Dead Cells.
Nice. Okay.
So we have a lot of games to finish, so that's what he was referencing at the top
of
the show.
That's crazy.
For those of you that are new to the Dual Screens podcast, this is an interview show where Andy and I bring on an industry guest for them to tell us their story. They get to discuss their latest project. Listen, everyone in the gaming industry, be it a programmer, an artist, a voice actor, or even an author of video game books, has a story to tell, and this is their platform to do so. The Dual Screens podcast posts each and every Thursday on your podcast service of choice, including iHeartRadio and Spotify. And you can also find the show on our YouTube channel. And of course, everything we do is on dualscreens.com. When we aren't interviewing awesome guests like Patrick, Andy and I also host the Dual Screens Gamescast, a gaming news show that pits the most talked about headlines from Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft and against each other and declares the biggest winners and losers of the week. That posts each and every Monday right here on the same channel you are listening to this podcast on. Please, folks, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, get in there and leave us a review. Just go ahead. Just take a minute, go in there, scroll down, hit the little stars, write a little thing, and if you do, we'll read it on the show. I checked today. No new reviews. Nothing. No, it's been months since I know Apple Podcasts isn't the most popular podcast app. I know that from our data, that not a lot of people listen on that platform, but come on, you guys are out there. Come on.
I think all the listeners on Apple Podcast left a review already as what's happening.
Yeah, all 30 of them. I get it. I understand. Believe me, I understand. You could support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producer, Colton the Apprentice Nestler. We cannot continue to grow without your support, so please head over to Patreon and consider backing us. Just $1. You could back us for $1, and that $1 gets you into our VIP Discord channel where you could talk with us, each other, our guests from these shows. I think we have something like 25 indie devs and other guests in our Discord. It's a great time. But the most important way that you could help us spread the word is to literally spread the word. Tell your friends. Tell your nerdy Facebook groups. Be like, hey, this podcast, you guys want to know about game development. You guys want to just hear an awesome nerdy podcast. Just tell your friends about Dual Screens. We would really appreciate it. Patrick, the last time you were on the show, you had, I believe, just released or were about to release The Minds Behind the Games.
Sure. Yep. It was a long time ago. It was about 130 pounds ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very true. You're looking very svelte these days, by the way. Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could see every part of my body now. It's fantastic.
And horrifying, I bet.
I can't imagine looking.
I'm like, glorious. What the hell is that?
I'm telling you, I'm like that Burt Reynolds picture. I just like to lay on the couch naked and look at myself. I'm telling you.
Easy.
It's fantastic.
Easy. I'm getting excited.
Put the cowboy hat, you know, over there.
It's too late in the night to be getting this.
It's just the right time of night.
All right.
So you, Patrick, you have had kind of one of the most interesting little, I don't want to say little, but like just interesting stories and careers.
Nothing about me is little.
Oh, I know that. You are quite a tall human. I can tell you that.
Oh,
much.
My God. Yeah.
I met Patrick, you know, we just went for a walk, really just got some coffee, just kind of walked around. And yeah, you're not prepared for how tall Patrick is. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. You're a tall dude. Forgot about that. your career kind of, you just kind of woke up one day and was like, I'm just going to do it. And your whole life kind of changed from that point. You have helped us out tremendously. The contacts that you have in the industry, and we'll get to the different, you know, the various people that you've interviewed for your books and on all what you have coming up. But like, we've struck a friendship based off of, you know, the one show that we did together, but we speak, I could pretty much say every single day.
Sure.
And the connection that we've made to you has not only been instantly helpful for us, but it's also been very gratifying for us to have somebody like that that has our back and knows that we have his back. So thank you for your friendship. Thank you for everything you've done for us. And we appreciate it. We talk about it all. Andy and I talk about it in private all the time, how great you are and, you know, how much we want to make sure that we continue this friendship going. But so just
that sounds fucking like me.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, I know. It doesn't sound. And the last time I saw Andy, he was like, thanks for the Kit Kats, bitch. I'm taking my laptop and I'm leaving.
Listen, I give you free labor.
You were awesome. Right? You were awesome. Totally appreciated. Like, Andy's the man. Both of you guys are great. And,
so,
you know,
listeners, I'm like Patrick's little convention monkey. I hang
He's
out.
He's helped me several times.
I play his game. I hype it. I provide monitors and services and controllers. I'm like the jack of all trades.
He's played my game, Kroom. Well, not my game, Orange Door Studios game with Jeff Paquette and P. Paquette and myself. He's played that game more than anyone else besides Jeff, Pete, and I. So yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, that's a great segue. So not only are you writing about video games now, you've made video games, you've voiced video games, and Kroom is like your next pretty awesome project. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Do you want to start there?
Yeah, sure. It's kind of funny how they're all interconnected with one another, because what happened was when the first book came out, I went on a media tour and I was doing podcasts and I was just emailing people. Like, I've literally been on over 100 podcasts in the past like 2.5 years. Some really bad podcasts, like that had like 30 followers. And because it's just like, you know, I feel like if someone's going to give me an avenue, I'm going to promote the show as much as I possibly can, and I'm going to get them more followers than they have before. Like, that's how I feel. If somebody gives me an avenue, I'm going to take advantage of it, and I'm going to help them grow. Like, that's one of the reasons why I talk to you guys. Luckily, you guys have a nice following, and we work well off of one another. But, like, just one day, P. Paquette messages me on Facebook, and it's just like, are you Patrick Hickey, the author of The Minds Behind the Games? And I'm like, are you Pete Paquette, the senior animator from Bioshock Infinite? And he's like, how do you know who I am? And I'm like, how the fuck do you know who I am? And we just started talking. And he's like, oh, I have a podcast. I'd love to have you on. So I was on the podcast. And another guy that's on the podcast with him is Jeff Gabor. And Jeff Gabor just did Spies in Disguise. He's an amazing animator. There's another guy on the podcast. His name escapes me right now. Mike B. something. Oh, he's awesome too. He's worked on Horton Hears a Who, all of these like great things. So it's like I BS'd with the three of these animators for like 2 hours. And then at the end, Pete was like, if you want to continue to work in the games industry, just let me know. And I was just like, I'm letting you know. Like here live on the show. Yeah, because at that point I had just done The Padre and Relentless Rex, and I was just like, yeah, I was hungry. And that was like 2 years ago. And Croom in its current form is just it's changed so many times. Like it was originally supposed to be like a modern day first person shooter. And then we kept like all of the story, but we wanted to go backwards in time, and then it was gonna be a mobile game, and then I could tell this story now. They won't get mad at me. We've never really told this story to anybody before.
Exclusive.
Well, not that we haven't really told it. We haven't told it. So, it's definitely an exclusive. So, ColecoVision loves me. Those guys, I've helped them out several times. So, they allowed me at the last New York Toy Convention to just chill out in their booth and promote my book and stuff like that. And they were telling me about these little tabletop arcade machines that they were making at the time. And we were working on Croom, and I was just like, you know, the game I'm developing with these guys would be great in one of your little machines. And they were like, oh, pitch it. So I went home and I told Pete and Jeff, I'm like, oh, I just made a pitch to Coleco. And they were like, what? I'm like, yeah. So we started talking to them, and they wanted us to have a game done in like, you know, 2 months. And the more we talked about it, the more we were just like, we need to take our time with this because this could be really special. And so we kind of didn't do business with Coleco. I still love them. They're still great. But then now we just started working on the game as Andy knows it now. And that was like a year. That was like 13 months ago. So for the last 13 months, every night after work, we're in Google Hangouts and we're bullshitting and we're working on the game, and the story is pretty much written. I've done like pretty much like what I was contracted to do, but like I do more in terms of like playtesting and being honest with the guys. And then as we design the story, you know, changes and things like that. So it's just to go from interviewing game developers to actually, I wouldn't call what I do developing because I don't code. I'm not a developer. But I wrote the story for the game.
You're a game creator.
I understand games. Yeah. It's just I'm not one of those geeky guys that programs and codes and animates and stuff. I understand what makes a game solid, and they use me to the best of my ability. So it's a great relationship. Like I don't use the L word that often, but I really do like love those guys. They gave me like my first like real opportunity. The Padre was more like, you know, here's this game. We know that you can edit dialogue and that you're going to voice the main character. And I did everything that I could. Like there's a big part of me sometimes that feels like that game doesn't get released if I don't, you know, find it on Twitter and demand to edit all of the dialogue and voice the main character. I had a lot of fun working with those guys, and I'm happy that it's out on Switch and PlayStation 4 and stuff. But my relationship with Pete and Jeff is so different that like they don't need me. They want me, you know, if that makes sense. So yeah, Croom is basically, for those who are still listening to this diatribe.
By the way, Steven, I want you and need you.
There you go.
Well, yeah,
that makes sense.
I do.
So
he
wants you to want him. Yeah. He needs you to need him.
Yeah.
So I forgot what I was saying. Oh, so Croom is basically like Legend of Zelda if Link had a badass gun, you know? And the story, which no one has really experienced yet because all the gameplay demos is basically what we're showcasing, like the tech and the gameplay and stuff. Once you guys get the whole story and stuff, it's like there's elements of you know, Alien and Celeste and Cave Story and Phantasy Star. There's like so many great like little odes and things, but it's a completely original story. I cannot wait for people to get their hands on this and to play it one day.
By the way, I have the demo on my computer, so I think my playtime may have surpassed your colleagues there.
Nice.
I do play it every chance I get.
It's a thousand times better than what you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like,
you know, I can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I keep coming back, because it's got a great soundtrack. It has very fun, simple gameplay, and I played a demo. I think it was at the last playcrafting event, and you added a second level to the mix. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it totally blew my mind.
Like, yeah, and it's almost done now. So that level's almost done now. Yeah. So like I said, the whole game is planned out. It's just a matter of like, Pete is super busy, and so is Jeff, and so am I, and it's just a matter of us just getting on the same page for a couple of hours a week and getting stuff done. And Jeff is just like an animal. He's a workhorse, and so is Pete. So it's going to get done. And it's going to be special once it's released. So it's just a matter of time.
What's the plan for release? Are you just going to find some place to dump it and just put it down and then just promote the hell out of it, or shop it around?
No. Yeah. Yeah. We're absolutely like we're not just going to like throw this out into the water. Like we've shown this to a bunch of people already. We have people that need to be aware of it or aware of it. And we're going to do everything the right way. Cause this is the thing. It's like a lot of game developers will tell you like, oh, you don't have to put all of your ideas into one game. Like just wait for the next game. And there's a lot of game developers that say, put everything that you can into your current game because you don't know if you'll get another
one.
Right. You know? So, and that's kind of like the train of thought that I'm, you know, akin to for Croom. We don't know what's going to happen. So like, we're going to go balls to the wall on this one and just make sure we do everything the right way.
It sounds like you're almost writing a chapter in your own book, you know, you're the interviewee in your own book. It's just like these stories, like the way this is coming together is very reminiscent of some of these older, you know, early Atari Nintendo stories of people just like building games and like just kind of bouncing ideas. And I mean, we have the internet now, so it's a little bit different. You're not doing it literally in somebody's garage, but like you're essentially Google Hangouts is your garage.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of just banging this thing out and really putting your boots to the ground to get people to play it. And it's just fascinating that like, as much as things have changed in 35 years, things really haven't changed in 35 years.
No, they haven't. It's just like, cause you know, when it's funny when we do like a Google Hangout, like Jeff is in his, like, you know, his little study, and so is Pete. And so am I. So it's the same exact premise, you know. It's like we're in like a safe place and we're being creative and we're trying to make something happen, you know. So it's funny too, because eventually at some point I do want to do a Minds Behind the Indie Games, and I do think that like people could learn something from like the things that like I've gone through on the Padre, like a lot of positive things, a lot of great things, but then a lot of things that like, you know, weren't so positive. And then it's just like with Croom too, like tons of positive things, but like, you know, we got sidetracked a couple of times, like little things here and there, nothing bad, but it's just like we've all learned lessons already on a game, you know, that if we share them with people, it could make them better at what they do. And I think that's one of the underlying like things that I try and express in each chapter of the Minds Behind the Games, that like there are lessons in here that like developers can use to get better at their craft, but also that like readers and fans of the industry can read so they can better understand the things that old developers go through. It's a lot harder than people think that it is.
Do you find yourself dipping in that well of knowledge often? Because now you're on the other side of things, coming from interviewing game developers to being a part of a game development.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see yourself like, no, we shouldn't do that? Ed Boon warned me about this exact mistake.
You're going to laugh, but those are some of the conversations that we have sometimes, like on the Google Hangouts. Like I'll, whether it's, you know, the Padre team or Croom, or even like I've spoken to, you know, the dudes from Relentless Rex and, you know, the Caillou Offensive, the other game I did narration for. And I'll tell them like, you're doing the same thing that so-and-so did. Didn't work out for them. I wouldn't do it either, you know? And I think it's like, I think it's part of my allure, you know? Like, I'm not just a geeky writer, but I've spoken right. to hundreds of game developers. So it's like, I do have that wealth of knowledge. And if I didn't use it, then I would be stupid, you know? And whenever I think that like the team is a little down in the dumps, I'll always find a quote from like my book and just throw it in there and they'll go, oh shit, you know, and it'll be like a game that sold like millions of copies. And I'll be like, see, they were in the same exact situation that we're in right now and see what happened, you know? And they'll go, oh shit. All right. Yeah. 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 You're right. You're right. You're right. So yeah, Andy, I do that shit all the time.
It's always self-promoting. So it's like, hey guys, I got a quote for you. It's a Ren book.
But absolutely.
It'll raise your spirits.
I'm sure people get sick of it, but like, listen, like, I forgot who said it, but it's just like, you could either pretend to be the person that you want to be, or you could be the person that you want to be. So I just 100% Patrick Hickey Jr. all the time. So yeah, if there's something that like, that I've done that I could help, that I could use to help somebody, I'm totally going to be like, yo, boom. Or if it's somebody else, like I'll use somebody else's information too. I don't care, you know, but it's, I mean, we were talking before we went live about some of the stuff that I do in indie theater, you know, and it's just, you've got to try and find what makes somebody unique all the time. You've got to try and find like that fire that somebody has and try to get the most out of them when you're with them. Otherwise, like, what's the point of even having a relationship or a friendship with somebody? Then you're just using them, you know? So
as a quick aside, I think when you're not developing games and writing books, consider some sort of fortune cookie business. Just get those inspirational quotes on there.
Oh, it's so funny. It's like somebody that works with me. That works with me says it all the time. He goes, dude, you should just have like a book of like one-liners. You say shit sometimes that I'm just like, what? And I'm like, it's from watching wrestling my entire life too. Like, you know, one of my friends is like, dude, Dusty Rhodes would have nothing on you. Like, both of you would just go back and forth with like stupid one-liners that people would go, oh shit, you know?
You're like the fly on the wall that lived forever and now can talk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just kind of absorbed every single thing that you've ever went to touch, and you just, you have this wealth of knowledge. You're one of the things about you that, and I think it's the reason why that we have become friends, is that you're not egotistical, pompous, and kind of dickish about it, you know?
Well, I am. I just maintain it well enough.
You know that you have something to offer, and you're not afraid to help people who you feel like could use it or deserve the help, kind of thing.
See, like, I get it a lot at work. Like, people, you know, there's a guy at my job that's not a fan of me, and he said to me one time that I was full of piss and vinegar, like, that I'm constantly like energetic and that like I'm always preaching passion and stuff like that. And I tried to tell him, like, yes, this is the way that I am. I'm not gonna hide it, you know. I'm not gonna like reduce what I do so you can feel better about yourself, you know. But it's just like, but if you want to be around me and you want to grow, I'm gonna promote you just as much as I promote myself, you know. And I think you guys understand that, but I think a lot of people don't. I think a lot of people will just be like, oh, he's just constantly like sharing links to stuff and posting pictures of people with his book and stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, if you do something cool, I'm going to fucking shout you out too. You know, like, yeah, if I believe in you, I'm going to share your stuff too, you know. But that's the problem. There's not a lot of people out there that I believe in.
There's that mentality of competition, right? Like, competition, yeah, and jealousy. It, mm-hmm, even if there's really nothing to be competitive about, if you are, mm-hmm, the type of person that thinks you are a peer to somebody, even if you might not necessarily be on that level, if you have that perception of yourself, you're naturally going to be a, sure, little bit jealous and short, and, you know, maybe hurtful when you really deep down know that you have no reason to be. Like, Andy and I have, me more so than Andy, but like we have a lot of mutual, you know, we have a lot of friends that also do podcasts. Some of them do the same, you know, they have their own Patreon. Some of them have more patrons than us. Some of them make more money than us. Some of them, you know, produce better videos because they just have that talent. And like, I could sit here. And we've had this, Andy and I have had this conversation before. You could sit here and you could be jealous. You could let that well up, right? You could let that, you could be like, well, fuck those guys. Like, what do they have that we don't have? And sometimes that does creep in your head. And it may affect, you know, your relationship with them. Or you could step back and say, I want what they have. Let's see if they're willing to teach me. Or let's see if, you know, there's something I could teach them or whatever, or they want to learn. Not even that I could teach them. I'm not going to presume that somebody wants to learn something I know, but maybe they, and that leads to such better relationships. I've been asked to be on multiple different podcasts from all of these people, people that have tenfold the numbers we do, that ask me to be on their show because I bring something that, that they either don't have or they feel like is valuable. And like, it's a really hard emotion. Jealousy is a really, really difficult emotion because I don't always think that it's a bad one. I think it could be a driving, a positive motivator.
Absolutely. It's like a long time ago, I used to have a mentor. And I feel like that relationship really changed when I started accomplishing the things that I always wanted to accomplish, you know? So it's like I really feel like it's better to have a bunch of hungry people around you and everybody wants to eat and everyone's willing to do whatever they have to do to eat, instead of having one person that's extremely well fed and feels like that they have to give scraps to other people. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like, you know, over the past 2 years, my life has changed a lot because I've just stepped away from people that were saying they were helping me, but what they were really doing was ensuring their safety from what I could become, if that makes sense to you. You know?
Like keeping you back in a way, or?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Telling me not to do things that I didn't, you know, telling me, you know, oh, you don't, you know, you don't have to run a site. You don't have to write a book. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. And I was just like, hey, you know what? You're right. I have a full-time job. I have tenure. I have all of these things. I don't have to do those things. And then it's just like, I would go home and I would be like, but there's so much shit I want to do, you know? And then I would just hear these people's voices in my head and they're like, but they're telling me that I'm okay. So I guess I'm okay. And then it just got to the point where I'm just like, with my wife pregnant, I'm just like, nah, man, I have to step up. I have to be the best possible version of myself. And that's why I started writing these books. And that's why I started doing voice acting. And that's why I told Pete and, you know, Bence and all these guys that I would work on their games with them. And that's why, you know, I went out of my way and I had, you know, weight loss surgery and changed my entire diet. And I dropped 127 pounds in less than a year. You know, it's because there's so many things that I need to be that I'm not yet, but I'm on my way now, you know? And
transformed yourself body and mind, essentially.
Yeah. And you know what the thing is? It's so like inspiring. It was always there. And it's just, I was just always fighting it.
I feel so lazy hearing you speak.
Yeah. It's listen, you're awesome, though. So,
oh, my try.
Yeah. No, well, it's the truth.
Patrick, you also, this isn't something that you did. Like, yes, you're talented, but a lot of this comes from hard work, man. Like, I remember there was one thing that you said. It had to have been like right when we started talking to each other. You essentially said, I have not had a good day unless I'm absolutely exhausted. Unless I'm collapsing at the end of the day and I can't keep my eyes open, I failed.
Yeah.
And that to me was like, that's why I'm like, okay, I'll record late. I'll record 3 shows with Andy. Sure. I'll stay up until like the other day, to try and get the video version of the show up or whatever it is, or Sunday into Monday. Like, I'll stay up until 1 a.m. on a work night to make sure that I get this done. And like, you know, I have a very supportive wife, but you know, there's limits to that support. Like when I'm
absolutely,
you know, cause there's not necessarily a monetary reward for putting all this work.
That'll be one of the first things that gets said, you know, like, what's the payoff for this, you know? And it's like, you try and explain that it's a spiritual payoff at first, you know? And eventually the money comes, you know? It's just like DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, says that like success is through consistency. So how can you be successful at something if you only do a part of the time?
I mean, if you open a business, if you're opening a business, which essentially is what both of us have done, three of us, when you open a business, it's like they always say the first 5 years you're operating in the red, always.
Absolutely.
You're always operating in the red. And that's essentially what we're doing. And you know, we're in the third year of this thing, and we're starting to understand what we're doing more. And I think that was the biggest part of this journey for us. And for you, you know, following you on social media and the relationships that you've cut off or the ones that you've, you know, latched onto, even the speed at which you're writing, because you tell me, you know, off camera.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, I just finished this thing. I just got this guy. I just finished it. And I'm like, it's, I don't know how it's possible, but you're getting even better at this and more efficient. And you're only in year two of really doing this. And it's like, you know, the sky is the limit, but it's that mentality of I'm going to work myself until I can't be worked anymore. I'm going to get it done because this is something I desire. But I guess my question is to you, did you always believe that you were going to be able to make money off this thing, or were you going to do this many of them regardless of what happened?
So the first book was more like, I'm going to be like Kevin Hart now. I'm going to just be like real talk. What happened was my wife was pregnant, and I just said to myself, I needed to do something really fucking cool that I was proud of before my first child was born, before my daughter was born. And it was originally going to be, if I get in trouble for this, I don't even care at this point. I wanted to create a multimedia journalism course for the college that I teach at, because we didn't have one. And I'm like, I think the journalism world is moving in a multimedia realm, and we don't even have a course. And I've taught it at other colleges. So I went to the head of the program and I was like, this is what I want to do. I laid it all out, the syllabus, everything. And he's just like, yeah, we don't need to do that. And I'm like, why? You know, and he had no answer for me. And I was just like, well, you know what? Then I'm going to write a book. And he was like, yeah, go write a book. So then I went home and I sat in my man cave and I was really pissed off. And I was just like grabbing at things on my shelf. And I started pulling out like Wonder Boy and Monster Land and King's Bounty and Toe Jam and Earl. And I'm just like, I love to interview people. That's like my favorite thing to do, despite the fact that I own a site called Review Fix. I love to do interviews. It's my favorite thing to do. So then I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to start reaching out to these people. And then it just, I was never thinking about money. I was thinking about doing something that I believed in. And I at that point, I mean, I had been a journalist for over a decade. So I could Google myself. I had done a ton of cool stuff for Examiner and NBC and the Daily News and this place and that place. So it was just like a book just made sense. And a lot of people thought I was crazy when I was doing it. And then I got a book deal super fast, and that just pissed off people even more. And then I finished the book in like 9 months, and I was getting accused by fellow professors. They were telling people that I was writing my book like in class. That's the only way that I could write a book in 9 months. Not that I, you know, write every day anyway. Not that I was a editor at NBC for 2.5 years and covered, you know, 3 Super Bowls and 2 Olympics and, you know, mass shootings, that, you know, that had nothing to do with the fact that I'm super fast, you know? So it was just like, I had to deal with a lot of stuff internally at my current job by doing this. And I'm still not taken seriously by a lot of the people that I work with. They think it's all kiddie stuff, but the people that have bought the book and the people that email me every day and message me, that tells me otherwise. Like, man, I mean, I could even tell you, I have 1-star reviews of my book on Amazon and Goodreads that I know were written by coworkers.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
Absolutely. That I know no one that read my book, that no one that wrote my book, that read my book, I'm sorry, that no one that read my book would ever like have written something like that. Not that my books are so good, but that like if you were going to pick my book apart for anything, it wouldn't be for my passion and my energy, and you wouldn't tell me to like take some medication to relax. Like nobody says that to an author that they're just reading their book. Like the reviews were like incredibly attacks. Personal.
Yeah.
You know,
how do you brush that off? Because, you know, I feel like if we get some downvotes on the YouTube video or someone says like, "Hey, you guys suck," it's just some random person that, well, that's your opinion, and it's at least you watched the goddamn thing. It's fine.
Yeah.
And left some feedback. You cared enough to do that. But if it's people that you know, that you work with, like how do you?
And I mean, these are people that I used to be cool with, and I was cool with them because they weren't scared of me. So now
have they seen you?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
This is pre or post weight loss.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, and I've been asked if I was sick, if I had some kind of ailment that caused me to lose that much weight. You know, so it's just like what I'm trying to explain through all this is just like, I did all of this because it was something that I wanted to do. And now like we're technically like on year three of this adventure. And it's just like, it's only growing. And the people that I pissed off in the beginning are really pissed off now. So that just tells me that I'm doing the right thing. And I've made so many amazing friends over the last 3 years that it was like, I would never want to go back to the person that I was before I started writing these books. Like, I know that people appreciate what I'm doing. And it was just like the day I posted the cover to the sports book and I created the pre-order page on my site, I already sold out of like the copies that my publisher is going to give me out of my personal stash day one. And I was just like, yes. You know, like the first book, I gave away like 30 copies to friends and family. And the second book, I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. Like too many people pre-ordered the book off of me to do that. And the sports book already, the copies that my publisher gives me, like when the book comes out, like my personal copies, they're all gone already. So
that's crazy.
It takes a long time. Again, sorry for the diatribe.
That's why you're here, man. You're here to tell us your story.
My message is just that, like, you're going to piss people off, but fuck them. Like, you got to just do what you got to do. You got to make yourself happy, and you got to align yourself with people that want to grow just as much as you want to. And you've got to believe that you're doing the right thing, and you can't be scared to make excuses. And you've got to work until you're exhausted. Like, right now it's 10:30, and if I wasn't on this podcast, like, I would probably be in bed. Because I get up super early, and by 10 o'clock in the morning, I've done more than most people have done the entire day. So, but I'm up now. And then when this podcast is over, I'll probably write a couple of articles because I didn't watch AEW and NXT yet. So I'm probably going to watch those. But the whole point is just like, you've just got to have it in your mind that like, this is what you're here to do, you know? And, I think that's been the reason why I've been successful so far, because I just got it in my head and I was just like, this is what I want to do, and I want to do it to the best of my ability. And then, like, if no one bought the first book, I probably still would have tried to do a second one. But then when I started getting developers reaching out to me for the second book, then it was just like, all right, I have to do a third and then a fourth. And now, I mean, I'm writing the fourth and fifth book as we speak. The third one's already done. So it's pretty wild how this has all turned out. So
that's totally batty to me.
Mm-hmm.
For those,
like I wrote on Facebook the other day, like I can't imagine writing only one book at a time. Like I'm writing two books at the same time right now. And it's just like, it feels so warm and comfortable. It feels like Pam Anderson circa like 1995 is sitting on my lap. You know, it's just a perfect warm feeling.
So, you know, just so people know that you're not just interviewing bullshit people or bullshit or about bullshit games. I have your the first book here in front of me, which was accidentally sent to me, but we're not going to talk about that. I'm going to keep this shit.
Hell yeah, keep it. Next time I see you, I'll sign it.
So listen to this. You got David Crane and Gary Kitchen. Okay. First of all, that's That's the first one I read, actually, when I got the book. I skipped to that one.
I love those two
that's
guys,
A Boy and His Blob. You got Fighting Force. You got Toe Jam and Earl. You have Tower Fall. You have Max Payne. You have Mutant League Football. Wonder Boy and Monster Land. The E.T. the Extraterrestrial, which I just finished that chapter as well. I love that chapter. It's phenomenal. Tell us who's in the adventure book.
Okay, hold on.
I mean, you have more here. You have King's Bounty. Mm-hmm. You have Pro Wrestling X, WWF WrestleMania, Mortal Kombat, NHL Face-Off.
NBA Jam.
NHL Face-Off 97 was my first PlayStation game, by the way.
I love that game.
Bart versus the Space Mutants, which was one of our Retro Game Club games, if you remember, Andy.
Super hard.
Spider-Man 2, which is probably still considered one of the best Spider-Man video games ever made. Hulk Ultimate Destruction, which is the best Hulk video game ever made.
Sure.
Deus Ex. I mean, you're not... This isn't bullshit. Doom.
Yeah.
Doom. Like, this isn't bullshit. Like, you're not... It's not like you're just, you know, picking people, you know, that... You're not picking scraps, you know?
Yeah.
That's not what you're doing here. When you love something, when you love a game, or you're interested in the story for that game, you go out and you fucking get those people. I don't know how you do it, but you fucking do it.
I'm just a good pitch man, you know? And I listen, it's like the people that get on me and they try and say that, like, oh, you know, you're all high energy and passion all the time, blah, blah, blah. I feel like these people connect with it because they know that it's not a facade. They know it's not a joke, you know?
I don't understand how that's an insult. Telling you that you're passionate and high energy.
I don't
how
understand
is that an
how.
How is that an insult,
buddy?
Yeah. Well, that's see, that's what they do. That's what they do.
You see what's going around in the world right now? You can't be that happy.
No, it's because they hate themselves. Because
they exactly
that happy about life.
But see, Andy, see what you just did when you just like calmed down, and Steve's like, "I am calm. This is just the way that I am." You know, like that's my situation. Like every day, that's my situation. Like, how dare you care? Like, how dare you have any energy for this? You know, like
right.
I remember like four years ago, I was in my office at work, and this guy comes over to me and he's just like, oh, 200 more days. And I know exactly what he meant. He meant like 200 more days of work until like June. And I was just like, bro, like you should be ashamed of yourself, you know? But this is the way a lot of these people think. And that's not me. I can't be that way. I'm not programmed that way. I can't be that way. So to get to the list of guys,
you gotta sell people. I mean, if this list doesn't sell this book, I don't know what will.
So I'm just gonna say the names of the games because the names of the developers you guys probably don't know. So Maximum Carnage, Parappa the Rappa, Keystone Capers, Epic Mickey, Monster Boy in the Cursed Kingdom, Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, Hunter the Reckoning, X-Men Legends, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Double Dragon, Gary Kitchen's Game Maker, Die Hard Trilogy, there's some indie games in here too, Zill, The Video Kid, Songbringer, Right from the Stars, Fuego, Limelight, Coffee Crisis, West of Loathing, then Family Guy, Conker's Bad Fur Day, Conker's Live and Reloaded, Boom Blocks, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pitfall, Pitfall the Mayan Adventure, Croc, Spider, Strider, and Grand Theft Auto, the original.
You had me at Croc.
Well, see,
that's like the one for me. Conker's great, but...
The thing with Croc is, and this is why I try and tell people that, like, I'm all about, like, being around people that have energy and stuff. So, like, on the Facebook page for the Minds Behind the Games, I'm always asking questions and seeing where people are at. So for the adventure game book, I was kind of at like 27 games, and I have 31. And every book that I do, I have to have at least 30 games. So I'm like, I wanted to add like three or four more. So I was just like, underrated platformers on the PlayStation. And somebody was like, Croc. And I'm like, I know somebody at Argonaut. I'm like, let me reach out. And I did, and they were like, yeah, we could get you in contact with Nick. And then, like, 3 days later, I was on Skype with Nick Cusworth from England, and we talked for, like, an hour and a half about Croc and how it all came together. And
that's a very me answer, by the way. I just want to let you know. I feel like I may have been the one to say Croc, or if not, I definitely liked that comment.
It was Douglas Coleman. I'll never forget it.
What a Croc.
Croc was the only 3D platformer I had on PlayStation, believe it or not.
Well, and originally how it started out was it was supposed to be a Yoshi 3D platformer for Super Nintendo, and Nintendo didn't want to do it, and they didn't want to work with Argonaut anymore. So Argonaut went into business for themselves. But see, the thing that Nintendo screwed up big time, because Argonaut were the designers of the Super FX chip. So these were the guys that had like Stunt Race FX, Doom, Mario RPG, all of those great like last era Super Nintendo games, they all played a part in. So like what happened was Nintendo just pissed off Argonaut, and then they went off and made Croc, and Croc sold over a million copies, and Croc 2 sold over a million copies. So they but what happened was they saw that technology, and they saw that they didn't develop it, and that little tech demo that they created with Yoshi, which eventually became Croc, was also the foundation for Mario 64. There wouldn't be a Mario 64 if those guys didn't see what Argonaut was up to, and that like 3D games could work that way. So that's why Croc is an important title.
And they stuck with a green animal for their game as well. I love like they like shove it in their face a little bit harder.
You fight like a boxing kangaroo or something like that. I think that's one of the bosses or something. I vaguely remember it. I didn't play Croc 2 though, but Croc was that was a big part of my library.
See, what I love is in this day and age of like Reddit and like AMAs, you can have a developer from a big studio or an indie studio to say, here's my game, ask me a question. But a lot of these stories are kind of lost to time. Because like again with Croc or Conker, it's these stories you're not gonna hear them anywhere
That's what I
anymore.
aim for. I try and aim for like people that because like if you were gonna put together a book of like adventure games, Croc might not get on there. Like, you know, people might put like 1,000 like Mario games and stuff, and for me it's just like
But that's expected though. That's like that sounds kind of boring in a sense. Like, well, it's with
Absolutely.
Miyamoto. I mean, yeah, there's a story to tell there, but let's hear some obscure titles, things that are, that have a real story behind them in a sense.
Absolutely, you know, and the thing is too, Nintendo likes to keep things like in-house, and I mean, for me, I have a lot of surprises in store for the minds behind the shooter games, like stuff I can't even talk about yet, but like Metroid Prime is confirmed for the minds behind the shooter games, and it was just like the developer that I spoke to was like, he didn't want to talk to me at first. He was just like, it's been 15 years since that game came out, and he was still scared of like Nintendo like finding out, you know. And it's just like, dude, you're not even in the industry anymore. You have nothing bad to say. I just want you to tell the truth about like what happened, like how the game affected you and stuff. And he ended up giving me some great stuff. But it's just like Nintendo, a lot of these stories behind Nintendo games are so hard to get. And I couldn't get them for the first two books because people wouldn't give them to me. But now things are starting to change, you know? So it's just like Halo 3 is confirmed. Like Microsoft read, they actually read the chapter and they loved it. So it's just like the minds behind the adventure games, like Sony had to give me like the approval to talk to Masaya, like the guy that wrote all the music for Parappa and created the character and stuff like that. And I at one point I didn't know if they were going to get back to me or not. So it's just like the first book that would have never happened. And now all of a sudden things are starting to change, and it's like I'm super happy, you know? So but it's just like it takes a really long time. And Andy, you nailed it. It's just like a lot of these stories need to be told, and they're not going to be told on a Reddit AMA. So
Yeah, I think it's in their best interest because you don't go in there with an agenda to get dirt and to have a scandalous headline like so and so abused the guy at Retro that made Metroid Prime. And that's not what you're about. You're about just telling the story and getting to the facts and just shedding light on how things were back in the day.
Absolutely.
It's
It's
lost
like
to all of us because as kids, there's like you bought a game, here's a game. And there was no, we couldn't talk to developers back then. We can't, there's no Twitter like there is today.
Absolutely.
They were like magicians, really.
I mean, they still are. It's like I talk to developers every day, and they're just like, "Oh, I have to do this today." And I'm just like, "How long is that going to take?" And they're like, "Oh, a couple of days." And I'm just like, "Jesus Christ." You know, like just stupid stuff like adding music to like a level and being able to like change the track. like in Grand Theft Auto, like how you could just change the track at whim. Like to design that, to code that system takes days for like one person to do it. And I'm just like, that is insane, because you totally take that for granted, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I could change the song while I play. Well, the big yellow one's the sun. Oh, you know, it's like
the big yellow one's the sun.
Think about how many times you skip one of those songs.
Absolutely.
Somebody right. did that shit.
Just pissing on that guy's work. Like, eh, yeah, no, I don't want this.
Yep, it's crazy. It's nuts.
All right, it is time to get into our closing segment, which is rapid fire questions, where Andy and I are going to just
fire questions.
We're just going to throw questions at you from the hip, and you're just going to answer. Excuse me. All right, but before that, I got a little tickle in my throat, so I'm going to mute myself. While...
Steven's cough was brought to you by NyQuil.
It pays to buy the best. All right, Ralph Cramden, also from New York. This week's sponsor is Melted Pins. Melted Pins is a fantastic little website run by artist Kelsey Lynn, who is a friend of the show and a... artist of ours as well, has done some awesome stuff for us and multiple different websites and podcasts. Somebody who I absolutely adore. She's just a really, really awesome woman. And she has meltedpins.com, where she creates original tattoo art inspired pins, buttons, canvas bags, t-shirts, all sorts of stuff. And it's all original designs, and they're all unique. Some of them are very, you got feminine, you got masculine, you got all sorts of stuff that you can buy. So it's not just like for one type of person. Anyway, if you go to meltedpins.com and use the checkout code NDSMelted, you will get 10% off of your purchase, just like that. That's it. It's the simplest thing in the world. Meltedpins.com. There's stuff on there that's like a dollar. And if you use NDSMelted as the little checkout code, you get 10% off of your purchase. If you want to follow Melted Pins on social media, you can do so at Melted Pins. Very simple. And again, that's meltedpins.com, promo code NDSMelted. Patrick.
Yes.
It is time to get into rapid fire questions, and we are going to start with the traditional first question.
Mm-hmm.
Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
Oh, fuck yeah. Absolutely. With bacon. And pepperoni, too. Shit.
Wow, the whole thing. The whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah, man.
Well, you can't even taste the pineapple anymore. It's got bacon on it.
Bacon, pepperoni, ham.
Love it.
I'm down
so
with it.
So a meat pizza with some pineapple on it is what you're really in the mood for.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get to be 380 pounds. Like, I was like a smart fat guy. I mixed everything together.
That sounds
I did it the right
like
way.
A case against pineapple on pizza. I've never heard one.
I would say, you know what, just pineapple and some bacon, that's good.
So the answer is no. All right, moving on.
Oh, the answer was yes.
While we're on the topic of food,
mm-hmm.
would you eat a day-old taquito from 7-Eleven?
Last year, yes. Now, no.
Okay, I was going to say, you know, the transformation notwithstanding. So I would, the
yeah,
answer
no.
is a yes, I would imagine.
No, I wouldn't have it now. Now I wouldn't have it, yeah.
Which actor would you want to play you in the movie about yourself?
Oof. Jesus Christ. Probably Vince Vaughn.
That's a good one, actually.
Oh,
that's a pretty
I could
good
see
one.
That.
I could I just, like, when that. He goes on these, like, little talky rambles and stuff. What was that movie, The Breakup, that he was in with Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah.
Like, that's me. Like, I'm that asshole, you know? So, and like in was it Swingers when they're playing NHL 94?
Right.
Yeah, that's me too. So it's like, yeah, either one of those two, like Owen Wilson or Vince Vaughn, I could see them playing me.
Handlebar mustaches, yay or nay?
No. No.
You got to do that Fu Manchu, brother.
Yeah.
If if you found if you knew, if you were told right now that sausage, all of it, all that you have eaten in the past and all forever were made out of human, would you still eat it?
Yeah, I had kielbasa for dinner tonight, so yeah, fuck it. Yeah, I would. I had like 4 ounces of kielbasa with a little bit of rice. Oh, that shit was gangsta. If it was a human being, amazing. Screw them.
Like
that shit's good.
You were the most delicious kielbasa.
Several times, by the way. That and various other meats. Meatballs.
Kielbasa is gangsta.
It's like when I come across your feet, I feel either very hungry or very inspired.
It's so funny because like I got wed into an Italian family. So like they show love with food. So it's just like I take pictures of all of this food and I am eating like such a minuscule amount of that food now. It's ridiculous, but it's just like every woman in my wife's family is an excellent cook. Like the worst cook there is still an excellent cook. So it's just like, yeah. Sausage, meatballs, pasta, it's just like a food group in my family. So yeah, if sausage was a person, I let me know if they have any relatives so we could cook those fuckers up too, you know? Like
all right. There's a spider in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Do you set it free or set your house on fire?
No, I kill it. Yeah. I have size 14 and a half, 15 feet. So it's just like, I just throw a shoe and the whole house shakes, fucking kill the thing. So my wife though, she gets petrified. So it's like, I could be sound asleep and I'm going to get like a fucking like Mortal Kombat. Wake up and have to kill a spider. So
what is the best video game controller of all time?
I was just having this conversation on Instagram today with somebody. It's just, I'll never forget the way I felt the first time I had a Sony PlayStation controller in my hands. The original Sony PlayStation controller.
With no nubs.
Yeah, with no nubs. It's just, oh, yeah. so perfect. Still to this day, I mean, I still love the PS4 and PS3 and PS2 controllers, but that first PlayStation controller is just so sexy. Really
special. All right. What does the acronym SCUBA stand for? And you can make it up.
Scuba. Scary cheese under bacon attack. I don't know.
Wow. That's actually
get with the bacon.
What's going on with food in this?
I love food, but now see, like I eat to live and not live to eat, so but still, yeah.
I feel like this is like a pizza reference. There's a cheesy pizza that's being a just bombarded with bacon.
Yeah, it's bombarded with
it's meat. Under a bacon attack.
Cheese goes on everything in my house though. So
as it should.
Yeah.
What is best cheese?
What is best cheese?
Mm-hmm.
What is like my
what is
favorite
the best
cheese?
What is the best
I love
cheese?
How you phrase that. What is best cheese?
Yeah, it was like what is fucking what's that guy? What's that guy's name? That weird guy.
Borat?
Yeah, there you go, Borat. That's what you sounded like. What
is best cheese? Okay, so I want to give a little backstory to that. So, a former, influencer and IGN journalist, current Stadia employee, Jared Petty, who you know, Andy knows, I love very much. I love all everything he does. One of the questions on his podcast that he did was always, "What is best sandwich?"
Oh my God.
So whenever I say what is the best whatever, I tend to say what is best instead of what is the best. So that's what I
got you.
So yeah, what is the best cheese?
Oh, it's mozz. It's mozzarella.
Mm-hmm. Do you like it's smoked?
Like, nah, it tastes funky.
Sometimes.
Just like regular whole milk mozz. Like I remember when I first moved in with my wife and she wasn't home. I walked around that apartment in my underwear with a block of mozzarella in my hands and I just ate the shit because it was just like, yep, I paid the rent. I could do whatever the fuck I want. It was like freedom. And without the cheese, it just wouldn't have been the same. I had to have the cheese.
Do you ever take like a cheap block of like Sorrento or like a Poly, just put the whole block in the microwave on a plate? Do you ever do that?
I've done it before, sadly. Yeah.
Me too. But sadly what? Sometimes we just got to do it, you know?
The worst thing I probably ever did, and I've done it several times, is Domino's the next day. Okay? So you get your two slices of Domino's, and then you make a sandwich, and you use the Domino's slices as bread. So it's like we're talking like salami, bologna, American cheese in between two slices of Domino's. It's freaking amazing. No, I know mustard.
Yeah, I was going to. Yeah, I don't know if you could do
because you got the tomato sauce and everything.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Is the pizza cold or hot?
No, it's cold. Pizza's cold.
Yeah, yeah, I like this.
Hell yeah.
I like this. Andy, your turn.
What was the last song you listened to?
Wow, the last song? Oh my God, you guys are going to laugh at me, but my daughter is in love with it. Make It Right.
Mm-hmm.
By BST.
Oh my
God. It's either that or Circles that. By Post Malone. She makes sense. That song too.
Yeah.
So,
if you were writing the next mm-hmm. James Bond movie,
mm-hmm.
what is it called?
Sean Connery said no.
007. Sean Connery said no. I want to hear Adele make that song.
Sean Connery said seven no's equals a yes.
That's deep.
Oh my God.
It's very deep.
Andy. What is your favorite type of muffin?
Oh, blueberry.
Yep.
That's a great answer.
I'm with you on the blueberry, but I'm very partial to the banana nut muffin. I don't know why.
I would think Andy would be more into the banana nut, but
yeah.
No, both good choices. Both good choices.
Do parents just not understand?
I think parents forget. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why I'm a pretty good parent. Because when I see something makes my daughter happy, I just let her do it as long as she's not going to burn down the house. You know, like if she makes a noise and it's the most fucking annoying noise in the world, if she's happy doing it, then I'm just like, yeah, let's just go with it. Let's just have her be as happy as possible. That's what it's about. You know, and I think a lot of parents forget about that, you know, you'd be like, shut the fuck up. And you're like, wow, that was dark, Dad. You know, go in your room. Shut the fuck up.
Neil deGrasse Tyson actually said this. I forget. I think he was on like that UK talk show thing, mm-hmm. that like celebrity talk show thing. But he was saying like, stop yelling at your kids.
Yeah.
Just like if they go in the refrigerator and they take a carton of eggs out and they drop and they throw the eggs on the floor, don't yell at them. Because what they just did is they learned a physics lesson, and mm-hmm. it cost you $1.89
mm-hmm.
and 5 minutes to clean it up.
People
like,
just
don't do it. Just let them mm-hmm. break things and learn things. Just as long as they're not getting hurt or they're not hurting
Absolutely.
Somebody else, let
Absolutely.
Them go.
I completely agree. You know, it's just like sometimes, like I remember when I was a kid, my parents would be like, get out of the refrigerator. The kitchen's closed. I'm like, it's not a fucking restaurant. I can go in here whenever I want, you know?
I would call my mom a food Nazi all
yeah,
the time.
You know?
Like, you fucking food Nazi.
Like,
I'm hungry.
What do you get out of that? You know, it's just like sometimes I would feel like my parents would be like, stop smiling. You know, like, stop breathing.
Can you stop
you know?
Enjoying things for
I just
one
feel
minute?
Like you were trying to enjoy life at a very young age, and you're making up for it now in your adulthood.
I remember one time I was like 12, and my dad, he comes over to me and he's just like, dude, you got to get the fuck out of the house. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you're in the house all the time. And I'm like, yeah, I live here. And he's like, dude, your brother is always gone. And if you're gone, like, you know, I could screw around like with your mom. Like, you know, like you're old. Like, you need to get out of the house. I need to like have some fun. Like, shit, like do me a favor, bro. Like, you know, and I'm just like, but like I have a PlayStation and like Final Fantasy VII. Like, you're kind of assed out, dude. I ain't going anywhere.
A little you know, bit. Will that help?
But it was just crazy. It was just like, just let me be a kid, you know? And yeah, I would never ever do that to my daughter. I would just like you own me for the rest of your life. Like whatever we need to do to get you to be as happy as possible, like that's what we're gonna do, you know? So yeah.
By the way, side note, my neighbors totally just boned during the podcast. I could hear them. The ceiling.
Wow, Kinky. That's crazy.
Andy, so that final happened. Question.
Giggity.
Oh, final
well,
question.
No, your final question.
Or is it my final question?
Your final question.
Okay. Another repeat. mm-hmm. in rapid fire. And that is, would you rather have the power of invisibility or flight?
Totally invisibility, because like I told you, I am like surrounded by like so many people that I would love to just say, I knew it, motherfucker. Like, I knew it. I knew it. You know? So it's just like,
you wrote that review.
Flying would be cool, but it's just like invisibility would just be like, I fucking knew it. I knew it. You know? So, and it would just be great. Invisibility would just be awesome, because I wouldn't even just say that I knew it. I would just go to like random places and just be like, yeah, man, like the bowling alley on Wednesday at 9:45 was really fucked up. And just to like see the look on their face and be like, oh shit. You know, like the men's bathhouse on like, you know, Canal Street was like, you know, pretty, the water was really warm, blah, 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 you know? So invisibility, I would have a lot more fun. It would be like Untitled Goose Game, but like in real life.
I think the water temp at a bathhouse is the last of my concern going to a bathhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, depends on what's making the water temp change.
That's true.
Right.
It's a little warm and smells a little bit like bleach in here. Anyway, all right, so here's the final question. It is tradition, even though it's you're probably not going to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You might surprise us.
Mm-hmm.
I think you will.
As tradition implies, I must ask you this question. Andy or Steven?
Wow. That's just not fair. Because Andy is very useful.
Yes.
And Andy actually like sends me games, which is awesome. Andy sent me a copy of Death Stranding, which was very nice of him.
Bribery, and he
was
going to do it.
He was going to do it for nothing, too. Super, super nice of him. But see, you're a good person too. I love talking to you and stuff like that. So, yeah, I can't answer that, because then I would hurt one of you guys, and then I would never ever want to do that. So, I would let you both have your way with me simultaneously.
Andy, I'm a very gentle lover.
Andy, I have to say, you are the Mormon equivalent of, like, for Death Stranding. Like, you, like, the way you try and peddle Death Stranding is like how a Latter-day Saint, whatever, whoever the hell they are, the ones that go.
I'm preaching the gospel of Death Stranding.
What's the one that goes up door to door and tries to sell the Bible all the time?
Jehovah's Witnesses?
That's the one.
Jehovah's Witnesses.
That's what you are. You are the Death Stranding witness. You're singular.
But that's all part of the game. It's the, about building connections with people.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big old...
So, I've connected myself to you and to Patrick.
You have. You have given... You have spread the word of Death Stranding. I still have not understood the word, but it's coming.
Oh, you will.
It's coming. That is it. That brings us to the end of the thing. So, I'm going to tell you about other things. If you want to follow this show on social media, you could do so at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And, Patrick, where could everybody find you?
I am at... Patrick Hickey Jr. on Instagram, Review Fix Pat on Twitter. You can also purchase my books at patrickhickeyjr.com. Also, if anyone messages me through Saturday on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook and says NDS or just is nice to me, I will sell them the original Minds Behind the Games for $25, no tax, no shipping, while supplies last. So anyone that listens to this podcast and shouts you guys out, I'll hook them up for $25, no tax, no shipping, while I have the remaining copies. So yeah.
Awesome. You heard it here first, folks.
Love it. I love it.
Through Saturday, so that's you have like 3 days. So get out there, listener. Go get yourself an amazing book, because it really is. The stories that you're gonna find in these books, the first one I could tell you firsthand, Patrick has told me stories behind the scenes about what's in the books and stuff like that. It really is. It's just fantastic, and it's a piece of history. That's really, I think, the most important thing about what Patrick does is you're preserving history in a very, very unique way, and you're not just writing a book that says, here's the game, this is what it was about, the end, move on. You're actually telling a story of that about the human beings that made these pieces of history, really, these pieces of pop culture. And we're very thankful that you do it, and we're very thankful for having you on the show.
Thanks, guys. Don't know. Wow. Like, I don't even know what to say to that. You guys are awesome. Always a pleasure to share some time with you guys. The only other thing that I want to say is, I'm not done yet. Like, I announced earlier in this week, the minds behind the Sega Genesis games, the minds behind the sports games comes out this spring. The minds behind shooter games comes out, you know, this coming winter. Like,
You're actually ramping up your schedule then, because I thought you were going to do beginning of the year and then like the end of summer. Like, I thought that's how you were going to do it, two books a year. I didn't know that you were going to do three.
Yeah, so like I have the minds behind the sports games coming in the spring, then I have minds behind the shooter games coming in the fall/winter, and then the minds behind the Sega Genesis games is being written right now. So
why not, man? Book five. You get them done, get them out, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And I've already got like 15 games confirmed for the Genesis book, and it's going to be awesome. And the shooter book, like, I'm going to have announcements over the next couple of weeks that are just
going to blow
people's minds. So awesome. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah. Special thanks to our contributors to the show. The theme song Retro Chatter is by Bradley Parsons at Train Sound Studio. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our podcast art. You can follow him at Angimoto. Thank you, Matt Murray, for all of the work that you've done for our logos and podcasts. Again, support us on Patreon at patreon.com/NDS podcast. Buy our merchandise at teespring.com/store/dualscreens/shop. Dual screens and shop are separated by hyphens. Thanks again to Melted Pins, and thank you to the minds behind the games and the Adventured Games. It's out now. That is it. That's yet another exciting installment of the Dual Screens podcast. Remember, we offer seasonal content, the first of which is Andy Explains It All, a show where one idiot, Andy, explains to the other idiot, that would be me, a topic that he is super, super duper passionate about and that I know nothing about. So you can catch Andy Explains It All with the rest of our seasonal content throughout the year, every other Friday. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Yeah, that show is worth the logo, yeah. I want to say.
Yeah.
So, listener, check it out.
Indeed.
It's an awesome logo. And I could announce next week's guest.
You can.
While we're at it.
Yep.
We're having on Massive Galaxy Studios to discuss Massive Galaxy, which is a space exploration / trading game. And it looks hella fun. It's full of sprites.
Lots of sprites. Delicious sprites.
Mm-hmm.
That is it, folks. Thank you for listening. Andy, thank you. Thank you, Patrick. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me on. Yeah, always a pleasure.
Until next time, take care. And as always, please be excellent to each other.